All Nebraska voters now need a photo ID to vote, so let's bring it. Bring that photo ID with you when you vote in person, or provide it when you vote by mail.
When it's time to vote, let's bring it, Nebraska.
For details, visit voterid.nebraska.gov.
Meet Bob.
Hey, Bob.
He's a four-time tire rotation champion. When he was a baby, his first words were, automatic transmission fluid. Bob's so cool, he has engine coolant running through his veins. And then there's Kyle, also known as Premium Unleaded. Legend has it that Kyle can change your oil with his toes, and that he can tell your tire's air pressure just by how you're walking. He's Bob, he's Kyle, and every Saturday morning they morph together to form the greatest superhero known to man, Mr. Mechanic. Check engine lights don't stand a chance. This is the Mr. Mechanic Show on 1110 KFAB.
Good Saturday morning to you. This is the Mr. Mechanic Show. 558-1110 is the numbers to get in. Get in early so we can answer your questions. This is an interactive call-in show where you've got the questions. We'll help you with the answers and get you back to that project or fixing what you've been trying to figure out and that annoying, weird problem that just keeps coming up, the pops, the rattles, the bangs, the lights. Oh, the lights. Kyle, what about lights?
These cars got more lights on them than Vegas.
I know they do. In fact, we had one yesterday that just had a simple connector come undone from all of yesterday. And it just popped it, and seven lights came on just because of one connector that needed to be repaired.
Yeah.
It shut cameras off, shut ABS, traction control.
Just shy of making the thing useless. I mean, yeah.
It did. Glad for everybody out there listening to us today that's maybe helping with picking up the area or out helping other people pick up the area. So sorry about everything that went on there, but I guess we didn't lose any life, which was great. Mm-hmm. Just a little property damage. We can hopefully rebuild that and get back to where we were. So interesting day for sure. I think we got a little bit more this afternoon, but it looks like we got sunshiny skies to at least see what we're doing and get things going.
The looks of it, you got a good 7 hours to get the car fixed, you got to do.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So hopefully not too much got damaged. None of those cars sitting inside, of course, I'm sure all your classic cars were sitting inside.
Mine wasn't.
It wasn't?
No.
A little bit of hail here, there, wherever, that's... there's going to be some body shops that are going to be full because of some hail damage that's out there.
Every one of them. And we're going to see those trailers pull into town with the paintless dent repair guys, and they'll get set up. It's amazing the work that they can do with
getting these
dents out without having to paint the cars. And you couldn't do that, 40 years ago. The metal was too thick.
Yeah.
You had to take the paint.
Yep, you had to, and you just massage that metal and heat it up or cool it down or just peck it out. But yes, there's an art to getting it done.
And I've seen a lot of interesting, because I mean, these cars are, the metal's thin.
Yes, it is. In some cases,
it's really thin. And I saw one guy use dry ice to do it. He just took a heat gun and heated up the area, just shy of getting the paint, melted.
Mm-hmm.
Set a piece of dry ice on you.
And out it
came. Just heat and shrink. And
yeah, it, like you said, it's an art. And, you look at these cars that get in crashes and you go, oh, my gosh, how did anybody survive that car crash? And cars are made to crumple like that.
Uh-huh.
Where they didn't used to. It used to be solid bumpers, solid frames. We talked about that before. And then they would bounce off, and the cars would look virtually, unscathed. But what happened inside was you took all the force.
Yeah, you were your own airbag.
Yeah, exactly. You were your own airbag with the steering wheel in hand and everything else. And now they've made everything else crumple, and they've saved all that absorption for energy there and so much less for you.
Yeah.
Which is good.
And seat belts were an option.
Yes.
Not every car had them.
You
had to pay extra. It was like $5.
I don't know. You have a vehicle that didn't come with seat belts, and I had one for a long time.
That
didn't have seat belts. And I think I added some for me, but I don't know how good it was, but I never got in a crash, so I never tested it.
Mm-hmm.
But You know, let's head over into some calls. We've got Bob. Bob's got a 2017 Lexus. Bob, what's up today?
Hi, guys. It's your old buddy, Bob.
My hey.
Son's got a Lexus, and it's got the electronic emergency brake, and we need to replace the pads on the back. They're getting thin. Now, when you get the release on that, does that take the caliper all the way back in where you can get the new pads on, or do you have to put power to it like I saw something on?
You're going to have you're going to have to put power to it. That has just ratcheted itself out when them pads wore down, and no, you're going to have to put those back, and you're going to have to either
put them in service mode. Yeah,
service mode.
We do it with a scanner. There are ways to do it without a scanner, but I mean it's risky.
Yeah, we just press a button and they just suck back in. But yes, you can. I'm sure there's some YouTube videos out there that tell you just got to add power to a certain way. I couldn't tell you how to do that because we don't really do it that way, you know. So, yeah. But I'm sure somebody out there has tried it.
Would you need to disconnect the battery so it doesn't do anything with the computer on that? If you're just it was showing just hooking up a 12 volt directly to each, you know. It's back one to retract it, but I don't know if it just goes back into a certain degree and stops, or does it?
Well, I think you have to. I think it probably does go back a certain degree and stops. But I would probably watch it. Like I say, when we do it through the scanner, it does a predetermined amount and pulls it back. But if you did, I think I would watch it and see and stop when it gets to that appropriate spot. But depending if you got. If you got two wires on there, they're just power and ground, but I think you probably got more connectors on there. So you just got to make sure you get the right one if you're going to do it that way.
And then it says you can manually push the the cylinder back in to get the room for the new pad.
Yeah, because the friction material on there is going to be nice and thick, and it needs all the room it can get in order to be able to push back in.
Okay. Well, he wants to know how to do it, but he's a beautician too and can't afford too many busted knuckles. So I'll have to talk about that. But also,
he's moving up, also, though. He's got a Lexus. He's moving up in the world.
Yeah. Also, his daughter, my granddaughter's got a 2018 Rogue, Nissan Rogue. And now I took him to the airport and front brakes, they're getting like the rotors are warped or the pads are. Mm-hmm. It's just got about 75,000 miles on it now. Is there enough meat on the factory rotors to turn those things now, or once you get or do the rotors actually get warped?
Every manufacturer is a little bit different about how much they give you in order to be able to resurface, but I think that vehicle, you'll probably be fine. I think there's going to be enough meat on it to do it. The other thing that you're going to want to look at, too, if it is the front brakes that's pulsating, you need to make sure that the rear brakes are working. And the reason I ask that question, or make that statement, rather, is that with all this salt that we put down on the road, cars are just taking salt baths. So the pads, the pads rust into the anchors, and next thing you know, the rear brakes don't work very much. And so your front brakes are doing 90% of the stopping, and that's not how it was designed. Therefore, a bunch of heat goes into the rotors, it gets warped, and then that's your problem. So if you go out, turn the rotors, put everything back to the way it is, and everything's fine, and then the rear brakes don't work like they should, it's not going to be long before you've just wasted all that time. So,
well, it shows some, some grooving on the rotors. So, I mean, I don't know if somebody, if they threw new pads on it or she just,
it just depends on how they wear. Some rotors are, European rotors are softer than the pads, and they just dish in quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But most of those, the car you're talking about, it doesn't necessarily do it that way. But, you know, well, you'd be able to mic the rotors and find out. There's a minimum machining level that tells you I can go below this or not go below this. It's pretty easy.
Right. And I know, you know, I bought some new replacement rotors, and the new ones were only about, you know, maybe a tenth of a millimeter before they were,
right,
you know, unturnable.
Well, if they're all rusty and crusty and everything else, just get some new ones called today, because they're only going to get even rustier.
Yeah, you only want to get in there once.
Right. I only want to do it once.
And, hey, on the ones that have the holes in them and that, you know, that upgraded, is that a good investment for better rotors on that? Or
are you heading to the track with that car, are you?
No.
Nah, I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, I don't know the way she drives. But
you don't need drilled and slotted rotors. You're going to take it out to the track on a weekend and, you know, go racing with the SUV. No, I think you're fine.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Bob. Hey, appreciate
your help. I appreciate it as always.
Yes, no, appreciate the call. No problem at all. All right, we're going to take a quick break on the Mr. Mechanic Show. We'll be back and answer a couple more questions. 558-1110 is the number to get in. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Ted Gaskett, and this is your breaking mechanic news for Saturday, July 27th. Swoosh, 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 swoosh. Electric cars for electric people. Elon Musk is once again leading the way in car technology by announcing his new electric cars that will be able to plug right into a person's brain. Yes, through a simple USB cable, you can plug the car into your head and run it completely with your mind. We actually have live footage of the first human test of this groundbreaking technology. Let's listen in.
Okay. I'm plugging the car into my brain now.
I will destroy you all!
Whoa, it sounded like he was having fun. Oh, science. I'm Ted Gaskett, and this has been your Mechanic News for Saturday, July 27th.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is powered by Buchanan Service Center, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha.
Julie, what's up?
Yep. Okay, so it's actually a 2004, I misspoke, a 2004 K2500. Mm-hmm. The driver's door no longer times out the BCM. You have to open another door on the vehicle to get it to time out the BCM.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Chevy's good about their courtesy systems, and I've ran into this a bunch of times. So when you open the driver's door, does the dome light come on?
Yes.
It does. Okay, but it will not shut off your radio or any of the other accessories.
On the passenger side, I think.
Correct. Well, on the dome light, I'm not sure. It's kind of an intermittent dome light.
I'm betting there's a door jam switch issue.
Mm-hmm.
On these trucks, they're... If I remember right, it's part of the latch.
It is part of the latch.
I don't think it's serviceable aside from that.
I just did one of these the other day, and of course, that's a 20-year-old vehicle. But we just did one the other day that had a door latch that was bad. And once we replaced the door latch, he would get out the driver's door, and it would sometimes leave the dome light on. Sometimes it would leave the radio on. But it's also going to be the same way for the passenger side, too.
Okay, so that's on the jam side?
It's going to be all kind of incorporated into the door latch itself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the micro switches that you're looking for that are going to be a problem are going to be in that switch.
There's a couple other things to look at also. Is your wire broken? Do you have an open wire in your door jam itself, that kind of accordion-looking rubber piece in the door jam? If there's an open wire in there, too, it's not going to know if that door's open, shut, or anything in between.
Right.
So, I mean, it's easy enough to check. You just kind of pull it back. You're going to see, you know, a spool of wire in there, you know, about the size of your thumb, and you can kind of you'll see a broken one right away, or you can kind of pull on them a little bit, and you'll know if they're broken.
That's the first and easiest place to start with.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your guys' advice.
You bet. And two wires could be touching in there, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Not quite broken in completely, but kind of touching when the door moves back and forth. Yeah.
Okay. thank you.
You bet. Appreciate the call. All right, we're going to head over to Boyd. Boyd's got a RAV4, Toyota RAV4. Boyd, what's going on today?
Oh, hi. Actually, I'm looking to buy a new RAV4, and I was wondering, do they have them? I know that Honda had fuel dilution problems because of that direct injection, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if, like, the Toyota RAV4s have that same problem?
Fuel dilution, you mean?
Gas getting in the oil.
Yeah.
I think they say.
That was kind of a... Oh, that was part of Honda's active fuel management deal. Yeah. That was more or less causing that. That was a piston ring issue, not as much of an injector issue.
Yeah,
and that was exclusive to the Hondas.
Yeah,
Toyota, we see very few problems with fuel system wise, or let alone anything else.
Yeah, when you shut out, when you shut, you know, things off to the one specific cylinder, and you just allow it to go, then it just tends to wash down that particular cylinder, mm-hmm. and that's what you have problems with.
Or you end up dry running those rings, and you end up with an egg shaped cylinder, and we've seen it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious because I was thinking on buying a new vehicle for once, you know, and I didn't want to get something where I might get oil in the gasoline, or you got to stay, you know, on top of stuff
I don't think you got a problem with that. And with direct injection, it's so precise that you're just using exactly what you need, mm-hmm. and they're shutting everything else down there. So no, I don't even know if they're really using that per se, and I've never seen much of any problem with it.
I mean, they're RAV4. I mean, those are mostly four cylinders anyway, so your active fuel, man, you're not even going to have it.
Right.
So, I mean, I say go for it. RAV4s are great vehicles.
Yeah, solid vehicle.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate you guys answering that for me. Have a good day.
Yep, you too. Yeah, you know, RAV4 is top four in the country.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
You got three, you know, Ford, Chevrolet, and Dodge, and then you got the RAV4.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of people like them, and we've kind of recommended them for a lot of people, and they're a lot of great cars. So, all right, we're going to head over to John. John's got a Toyota Avalon today. John, what's up today?
Actually, my wife and I each have a Toyota Avalon. We bought them same time, and I bought them new, and I've never done anything to them.
Yeah, it just breaks battery and tires, isn't it? Brakes,
change the oil and stuff. And, yep. What I'm worried about is they're hybrids,
mm-hmm.
and every time I take them in to have the brakes checked, they say they still look new.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there a chance that I might never have to put new brakes on an Avalon if I don't drive it radically or something?
Yeah. There's that possibility exists. You got two things going on there. I mean, it's got regenerative braking. You know, like if you drive a Tesla, the regenerative braking brakes for you. So you really don't need that much. And if you're a light pedal user, then, yeah, you could certainly go that long.
Yeah, I mean, dry rot pads out from underneath the car before they ever wear through.
Yeah, yeah.
They just never wear out, it seems like.
Yeah,
but no. To me, Avalon's about the best car ever made. We don't do anything to them. And we just never have any problems with them.
Yeah, I've had several customers that have had them, and we do a lot of, you know, routine maintenance on them, and then brakes, battery, tires, oil changes, and the odd things that come up. And they're a car like anything else, but they're mechanical, and they're going to have goofy, odd issues, but not as much as some other vehicles, that's for sure.
It's like whenever they develop the perfect anything, they quit making it.
Yeah, I know. It is. It's the planned obsolescence didn't apply for that vehicle, did it?
I
just seen one the other day. I seen a 99 Camry that was out there running around in traffic, and I just looked over and it's like, well, that's something you still see.
We got some that are from the early 90s. I mean, I got OBD1 Toyotas coming in, and I'm like, They need to send something to these people, some kind of a recall. I mean, you should probably get another car. I mean,
you know what you don't see?
Step into some options here.
You don't see a lot of old Suzukis running around. You don't see a lot of old Nissans running around other than, you know, the 280s and 300s.
I got an old Buick that I still drive.
Well, yeah, because those are like a couch. I mean, you can't get rid of your couch, how smooth those things were.
And I drove it off the showroom floor in 65.
Yeah.
Oh, so you got a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Electra 225?
Huh?
Oh, Buick Electra?
It's a Grand Sport.
Oh, yeah. Good car.
It's a nice car.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys have a great show.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. All right, we're going to take a quick break on the Mr. Mechanic Show. 558-1110 is the numbers to get in. We'll be back in a minute.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Professionally fixed right and fixed on time. Two locations, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha.
What's going on today?
Well, the radio display goes out. So it doesn't lose time and it doesn't lose channels. Mm-hmm. Is when it does happen to flicker back on, all that's still correct. So I don't know what's going on. I know I when I sprayed some WD-40 into the ignition switch, that seemed to make it work for a little while longer. I don't know if that was just coincidence or what.
I'd say it's coincidence.
So so you say it does not lose time, it does not lose your channels, presets, everything else is working fine.
Correct.
So that tells me we do not have an issue with power or ground or any communication wire at the back because its keep alive memory is able to work.
Right.
So if I was a betting man, I'd say you have a bad head unit.
Yeah, a bad screen.
That whole display unit. Because if it were a connection issue and say you were losing power, ground, communication, any of the above, it would come back to factory mode. 0 hours, no presets, yada yada.
Right. So is that particular part kind of expensive, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
And does it have to go to a dealer to be fixed?
I do not know if that is a plug and play unit. Most of them are, because you're going to have a radio control module that's probably going to be separate from that, but I'm not 100% on this particular model.
Yeah, you might even be able to get a used one, but you'll probably have to have it reprogrammed to the car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not, I wish it was. It's plug and play for the most part, but it's got to recognize what's going on in the car that it's in and year and things like that. So it's, it's just got to, your other possibility, which I don't think will work, but you can try to take the negative cable off and reset everything back down to base and bring it back up. I just did this on a screen for somebody just the other day on a Buick, and everything seemed to work fine. And you can certainly try that.
But some cars also have a factory reset, there's a small hole and you can put a paper clip in there and reset it. It's like a home computer.
Yeah.
They start acting up, the first thing you do is pull the plug.
Yeah, and if you can get it apart, you know, if there's just one connector, that, you know, that may not, but if there's multiple connectors, you might unplug and plug them back in. And if there's a loose connection, it might be doing that. But I think you're heading towards the screen, Scooter.
Yeah, well, it seems to be worse in the cold weather than it was in the warm, but now it's not coming on at all anymore.
Yeah. So. Yeah, with cold weather around here, we get a lot more moisture, and moisture and electricity are their own arch nemesis.
Yeah.
This is one of those cars that I got the engine replaced by Hyundai, so I kind of hate to get rid of it. But
sure,
yeah. Well, try resetting it. See if that does first. If not, screen's where you're heading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Appreciate the call. We're gonna head over to Dan. Dan's got a 19 Ram. Dan, what's up today?
I've got a unique one for you, and so far, dealership or no one's been able to figure it out. Occasionally, and it's like almost in the same time frame, and oddly, when you make a right-hand turn, it will flash up, check electronic throttle control, and then flash and check electronic stability control, and go into limp mode. You pull over, shut the vehicle off, open the door so it shuts the entire vehicle off, start it back up, Everything runs fine. The check engine light on, it stays on for 3 startups, and it'll run fine for a couple hundred miles and do it all over again.
You've got a bunch of electronic stuff going on there.
So,
and in Nebraska, it's not that bad. Last weekend and or a couple of weekends ago in Dallas-Fort Worth, when you're driving through Dallas, Texas, and it decides to go in a limp mode. And the other problem, too, is on the shift mechanism, when you turn the control into drive, everything works fine. You'll pull into a gas station parking lot, and the light flashes from drive to park, drive to park, drive to park, and brings up on the screen. Press brake and select gear, and you turn the knob from park to drive, and it goes back into drive again.
That's annoying.
Yeah, that's a lot to do. Boy, you got it figured out.
Yeah, you.
To say the least.
Yeah.
Well.
Almost becoming a hazardous factor.
Yeah, I would just.
It brings up no messages on the screen, and by the time you get somebody to plug into it, the check engine light's off, and there's no codes.
So.
We'd have to think something's resetting.
If the check engine light's staying on, there's going to be a code in there. At some point, especially being a 19, this thing's got mode 10, and I'm surprised the dealership didn't go into that. But this is going to be have to be something where what I would do to start with this, like say if it was at my shop, I'm going to drive this thing until I get that check engine light to come on, and then that's going to kind of lead.
That's my thought.
I mean, you're telling me there's Stabilitrack issues.
Yeah.
There's transmission issues. There's, I mean, all these things at once, they have to come together at one spot.
Oh, see, it sounds like you're coming down to powers or grounds.
Yes.
So.
And, you know, a connection, you know, what's happening when you make a turn and this is coming on? You know, what's moving and causing a wire harness to move?
Yep. Is a battery sliding over, causing a connection here, a connection there issue?
Is there a control module on the front differential that's swaying back and forth? You know,
that part I haven't checked. I've checked the battery. The battery's solid. I've checked battery connections. I've disconnected the battery and let it sit for a while, hoping to reset it. And like I say, it'll last for about 200 or so miles or so, and
sure.
Then it'll go back into the same journey again.
I think your next step would be going to connectors on the PCM and bulkhead connectors underneath the...
Yeah, get underneath the car, have somebody sit in the seat while this thing's running and just grab every harness you can and move it hard.
Yeah, or maybe even disconnect them and connect them again. Sounds like something is not all the way engaged, or you got a green wire somewhere.
Chrysler, even though this thing is new, I mean, we were seeing the Chargers that would set cam sensor codes and you would have green terminals at the PCM because their weather packs
didn't
weren't up to par, and they would literally send you a bag with the 2 PCM connectors and probably 200 wires, and you'd have to pin out and redo this entire loom.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time we saw this on a Chrysler product, but... Yeah. I mean, it's the first time we saw it, it took a long time to figure it out.
And fortunately, when I got extended warranty on it, but it's only got 69,000 miles on it. But
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the time when it does it, I've been fortunate enough to be in a safe position to where you can pull over, shut it off, reset it, drive. But
yeah, that's
the other weekend in Dallas-Fort Worth traffic. It's not so easy to get over to a place where you can just stop.
No,
I've been there.
Shut it off and start over.
Yeah, that whole concrete jungle they have, I broke down on top of that.
Yeah, they're good. 90. They're going 90 all the time, and it's sounds to me like it's either take it there, leave it, let them experience it and solve the problem, or make it a trade-in somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of another thought too. So thought I'd see if you'd run into that before. I've looked at some forums and other people said that had the same problem and taking it to dealerships, and dealerships say there's nothing wrong with it. And yes, there's definitely something wrong with it.
Yeah, it's just a matter of catching it. It's just
a lot of patience. You got to just
it's
keep
just
going.
It's just a matter of catching the right thing. Keep.
Well, I was hoping maybe you'd run into it before, but
not yet. Not yet. We probably will.
Oh, we'll see it. Maybe even later today.
I think my best
chance is to get it to a dealership while the check engine light is still on and pray.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Buy
your. Yeah, if you're not close to a dealership, head into a parts store. They've all got scanners in there.
Yeah, buy a scanner yourself so you could scan it yourself and give them the information. If it's not doing it, at least they'll know what they're looking at on the other side to see what it is. At least they'll have the codes for it. Try that, Dan.
Good point. I never thought about that. That's a good idea. Thank you all very much.
You bet. Have a great day. All right, we're going to head over to Bob. Bob's got a 77 Ford pickup. Bob, what's going on? Are you still reading, building this?
I'm driving it now, and I had to replace some of the wiring, like the wire between the hot side of the starter relay and the alternator, and it used to have a fusible link in it, and you can't buy fusible links anymore. So I went to a replaceable fuse, bayonet type. And the biggest one I could find was a 30-amp. And that keeps blowing when I go down the road.
You bet it is.
But it keeps running because the alternator is still going. And then I turn it off, go inside someplace, come back out, it's dead. So I replace the fuse and it goes again. So what size fuse should I use? Does it depend on the size of the alternator?
Well,
yeah,
I've done a lot of these repairs, and I've worked on a lot of old Fords. I always just hardwire them. I do just away with
hardwire in between the battery and the alternator. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
It doesn't need a fuse in it.
No.
Yeah, believe it or not,
and I've found this out, and I've proved it to a lot of people, every piece of wire is a fusible link wire.
Yeah.
If that alternator dead shorts, it's going to burn through whatever you put in the way.
Working as a fuse.
Yeah. Yep. And if you want to, you could always go get yourself a big maxi fuse, a 60-amp or 70 or 80-amp.
This afternoon. Yeah.
And then just wire that in with female connectors in there if that makes you feel better. But Kyle's right. Every piece of wire is a fusible link.
Yeah. I've proved it many times.
Yeah. I got some maxi fuses. I got one 60-amp and one 80-amp.
There you go.
But I think the 80 amp might be stronger than the wired. So.
Well, and if you can't find connectors, just solder the end terminals right on the end of there because those blades are pretty quick, pretty big. At least it gives you a peace of mind. It'll look ugly, but it'll give you a peace of mind.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet, Bob. No problem. Appreciate the call. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Come right back. Answer the rest of the calls. See you in a minute.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Call to schedule your appointment today at 402-393-2722.
Rich, what's going on today?
How you doing? Take a 2013 RAV4 at 1,800 to 2,000 RPMs. It hesitates. Once you're above or below that, you're fine.
Do we have a check engine light or anything?
No check engine light.
Okay, so we can essentially probably rule out a misfire.
Yeah.
Could have some transmission shutter happening because right around there is where your shift's going to happen.
Could have problems with the VVTs not working quite right or you're putting the correct oil in it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, just you hit 1,900 and it kind of hesitates a little bit, you get above 2,000 and it drives fine again.
Sure.
And you've had somebody look at it, or is this just kind of a first?
No, I haven't had it looked at yet.
Yeah. So, you're gonna have to take it to your mechanic and have him kind of feel that without a check engine light to direct you to certain areas, whether you've got transmission, drivetrain misfires, BBT things. A lot of things can cause a hesitation / misfire, or what we call a misfire.
Any weird clicking when you turn corners?
Pardon me?
Any weird clicking when you turn corners, like a CV shaft?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
The CV shafts we've seen kind of have issues between certain power bands.
You might have a throttle body. You might have, we're going to just name everything off in the car, aren't we, Kyle?
Yeah, yeah, you bet.
Gas pedal, throttle body, that's probably, you're just going to have them experience it just a little bit And they're going to say, that feels like that's a transmission issue. That's what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll go on their scanner and they'll look at the values and all the numbers that are in there about shifting points and this, that, or the other and say, okay, this is kind of where it's at. Or that all looked perfect. I think we got a misfire because you got misfire counters and say, when you get to this particular point, you got about 2-3 misfires. So.
Okay. Well, fortunately, it does it every time. So
yeah.
I like to take it in and then it won't do it.
So. That's the key. That's the key is allowing it or getting it to do it all the time because it's a pain when it don't. It's just a pain. Right. So.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. All right. We're going to head over to Andy. Andy's got the last call of the day, F-350. What's up, Danny?
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. It's a 2009 Ford F-350 Super Duty 5.4, 22,000 miles is all. I bought it at an auction. It's been a great truck. I was hauling a piece of farm equipment. Hit a bunch of bad road on the interstate. You know those bridge when you're going into a bridge or something. It's just, some of those are real rough. Just bouncing the front end off.
Death wobble kind of thing.
Death wobble, yes. Yep. I looked it up. I got a steering stabilizer coming. Any better ideas? Only 22,000 miles. I can't imagine front end components are bad, but possibly.
Unless you bend something. Get some good shocks in the front of there, too. Good stabilizer shock, because that'll help quite a bit, a lot.
Okay.
So, that should help you a lot.
Yep.
So. All right, we got to run. Sorry. All right,
okay.
That's another Mr. Mechanic show in the books. Buchanan Service Centers, stop by. We'll take a look.
All Nebraska voters now need a photo ID to vote, so let's bring it. Bring that photo ID with you when you vote in person, or provide it when you vote by mail.
When it's time to vote, let's bring it, Nebraska.
For details, visit voterid.nebraska.gov.